trouble, see, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are back to doing a episode review. I mean, I feel like it's been a long time. I don't know if it's that it's come out, but like,
recording wise, though,
it's been a hot second since we've sat down and recorded. So I was like, oh, back to basics. The courtroom is season 2, episode 7. I don't know if any of you guys watched like the Paramount one, but there's 2 episode 7s. On Paramount.
Yeah, it confused me a little bit.
I had to go check and make sure. But the Sculptress is the one that they call episode 7, the first episode 7. Mm-hmm. And that one is really season 2, episode 15. So it's a while until we get to that one.
Wow.
But anyways, this one, the correct season 2, episode 7, aired November 10th, 1952. It's directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed August 8th, 1952. A little rundown. The Ricardos, for the Mertz's 25th wedding anniversary, decide to get them a 20-inch television set, which I think is really nice. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. things don't go as planned. TVs get broken. Tempers flare. There's a lawsuit and a court appearance.
You know, you hit on something, because I noticed that we got a couple of comments. One that I put on when I put a video up on TikTok for Lucy Day, which was October 15th, and also on our Instagram, is people are not realizing that all of the episodes are on Paramount Plus. Sometimes you'll look for them randomly on, you know, Amazon Prime or what's the other, Netflix or anything, something like that. Hulu, they're all there on Paramount Plus. So if you guys haven't checked them out, they're all there. But yeah, that would you give someone? I guess you have to be that close of a friend.
Yeah, I was going to say family member close
for such a really, really nice, nice gift like that.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll talk about that. The largeness. I mean, they play it off, but that's a very big gift at the time. This episode was based off of My Favorite Husband, episode 49, which was called Television. I did listen to that one, not recently, but I have listened to it. And it's quite similar, except it's not gifted to them. They go over to watch television and
chaos ensues.
Chaos ensues, basically, yeah.
But what's in your hand? What's in your drink? What's
drink?
Happening?
It's just tea this time.
Just tea.
Just tea.
Not gossip, but actual tea.
Sorry. And it's decaf too.
Wow.
So I'm just drinking decaf tea. It's very saddening. But anyways, what do you have?
Well, I have the caffeine that you can't have.
There you go.
You guys have heard me mention I like the Red Bull. I know it's not good for you. Okay. but I did discover, I'm sure it's been out for a while, but I just discovered the tropical flavorings of the Red Bull, which tastes a little sweeter, you know, so let's add, you know, sweet to the caffeine that's already, you know, killing me slowly, but it's quite delicious. I enjoy it.
Did you throw some alcohol in there?
I didn't. So we're both just like, see, here's the thing. The way I drink these Red Bulls, again, if you guys want to fast forward, please do so, is I don't, you know, it's not like one huge chug. This will last me all day. I have a straw in it because I'm fancy and I'll just sip all day long. So seriously, I'm really weird. I buy straws, more straws. I'm killing the environment one straw at a time because putting things up to my lips is just, I'm really weird. It does not matter. Yeah. So the courtroom.
Learning things.
If we had a chapter, this is the chapter, the courtroom. We're moving on.
Courtroom. All right.
So it starts off with them getting all fancied up, Lucy and Ricky, you know, looking, she's beautiful
in
a dress.
She's got a new dress. I love that she bought a new dress for someone else's wedding anniversary.
And you're just going down the hallway. You know, that's a friend. Actually, we're looking at it as that's a friend. It's really just an excuse for Lucy to buy another dress.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, they're both excited about, he compliments her. And she says, it's not every day we celebrate the Mertz's 25th anniversary. And of course, yes, all of our favorite part here as women is he's like 25 years.
She
25
says,
years.
Sounds longer when you say it.
Oh, not with you. I mean, with Ethel, you know.
Uh-huh. Try to backtrack real quick.
Yeah. So, you know, if you pay any sort of attention to the script writing, you'll notice that the years kind of bounce around, differ in terms of how long people have been married. And sometimes they'll say 18 years, sometimes they'll say, you know, 20 years. So I think for a long
from this
time
point out, it's 25 years.
It's though. Always 25. Yeah. So
yeah, no matter how many years have passed, is it like an age thing with women? You know, like once you hit 20, what is it? 27, you're 27 for the rest of your life or something.
I wouldn't know, darling. I would not know. And you know, at this point, Vivian Vance is what, 42 years old or something, you know, along the lines. But if she's been married for 25 years, she's been attached to Mr. Mertz since she was like 18, 19 years old, the poor thing.
Half her life.
So they purchase a television set for the Mertzes for their anniversary. Now, when we say set, of course, that's why they call it set. We no longer say that just naturally for TVs anymore because they're just a television, you know. I mean, we just bought one the other day at Sam's Club. They're paper thin now.
And some of them they're very thin, they're light, yeah.
Yes, and meanwhile,
and I mean, these are big TVs, right? Not like 20 inch.
No,
you know, be it whole. Yeah, I'm trying to look real quick, you know, and TVs at that time, not only were they ginormous, so a set, but also not super popular. No, it wasn't common. They were popular, but let me correct, it wasn't something that was a staple in the household.
Yeah,
you know,
so
like
new.
Now, mm-hmm. Right now you go into a house and it's kind of strange if you don't see a TV.
Yeah.
It's been said that a lot of people were driven to buy their first TV set to see the 1952 Democratic and Republican National Conventions. Those aired in July. And Lucy and Desi did appear in GE, that's General Electric's, print ads for the Black Daylight Ultra television sets. So they actually helped sell television sets.
It was like a luxury piece, I think, then, because just like television, the concept of television itself was so new.
Right. And it's one of those things like nowadays you get, you know, every generation. I don't know, this might be still too early, but I swear every generation it's like, this is going to ruin your kids, you know, TV. I do know that not everyone, but there were people that were definitely reluctant because they were afraid that the TV would, you know, ruin everyone's life.
Well, now everything is just, of course, smashed together, social media and television. Mm. And I don't know when the last time you watched a, you know, network show when it was required at that time, but everything is streaming now. So just everything is mixed together. But then it was like a furniture piece. I think that's why it's more of a television set, because it looked, you know, made of wood and huge, clunky pieces of furniture. And
as carrying it. So, yes.
20 inch television set in 1952 would be about $300 in 1952 money.
Then.
Okay. Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's like almost $3,000 now. So they thought very highly of the Mertzes to buy them such a nice gift. And, you know, then eventually what happens, but yeah, it's about $3,000 now, or 2026, something like that. 2,600.
Lucy had it delivered upstairs.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. They had to carry it downstairs. Now this is really quick, guys. But a 32 inch TV set, this was a 20 inch, but a 32 inch TV set at the time could have been more than 100 pounds with everything.
That's like a small child. No, it's more than a small child.
So, and again, that was a larger TV set, but you've got to think like this was heavy. And now I'm assuming that they didn't actually carry a real TV set that was full and heavy down the stairs.
You're meaning it's not, it wasn't like a dummy TV.
I feel like it's a fakey TV set. Yeah, like, that's the insides are probably ripped out, and this it's is not where the heavy.
The acting comes in,
right? And they're acting like it's really heavy. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they were like, "Nope, you get to carry the real deal down the stairs." But well,
I'm guessing it
was fake.
You know, a betting woman, and the way method acting with Lucille Ball went, she probably was like, "We're going to feel the weight of this." But I doubt they'd want to do that to Desi's back
many times. Like maybe if they did it like down like a few steps to like feel and then get help, and then you know. But who knows? At this, just every time I see this scene, it reminds me of the Friends pivot scene.
Pivot.
Shut up.
Oh, this is the merge. I'm sorry. We're starting a merging. Merging over to a Friends podcast.
I could do it, but they do have those, a lot of those already. So
I'm sure. Yeah.
So anyways, they bring it downstairs. He's finally like scooting down the steps.
Reminds
me of my toddler.
Yeah, skip the entire dance that was bringing down favorite part of the whole thing.
It's heavier here.
And then you switch. Listen, I'm going to be very transparent here. When I watched this scene earlier today, just to kind of get reacquainted with it, it really,
would you do that?
This is probably why I identify with this show so much, because this is very much me.
You?
It's very much me. I felt it in my bones. And my husband, you know, he's, you know, all the remarks that Ricky is I would get a TV ordered upstairs, you know, just to bring it down an hour later. And so my favorite part is like, you know, we should have done this earlier. I should have stayed in Cuba.
Yes.
So just every time he throws those in, I love that remarks. But yeah, be careful with the bow, honey.
Like, that's what she's concerned about.
You know, and so, yeah, she's not very self-aware of what's happening here. But yeah, they finally get it down somehow. They didn't break it and end up on the bottom of the stairs just to knock. And the Mercies aren't home. And it's like, uh-oh.
And then she says, well, upstairs we go.
Back we go.
I thought the look on Ricky's face when he's like, no. They decide to wait. And then they hear, thankfully, they hear the Mercies coming.
They have a cute little cake in their hand from Miss Lewis. Yeah, for it's their really cute.
This is, we hear, I was going to say, I feel like we hear Miss Lewis. Do we ever see Miss Lewis?
Miss Lewis is the one who, remember she had a, the Mr. Ritter. She had a crush on Mr. Ritter. Played by B. Bernadette.
Of course.
And yeah, but we hear about her a couple of times. We hear about her later in this episode too. And so yeah, that's Miss Lewis. Remember, she was trying to flirt.
Yes. Okay. I can't believe I forgot that.
Listen, it feels like it was 5 years ago that we covered that episode. So it's probably why you're not so refreshed on it.
And before we get into all the hatred, they love their TV.
Oh, they're so happy.
The moment they see it, they're so excited. Mm-hmm. And like you said, this is an expensive gift. Yeah. I mean, like, what's an equivalent? Mm-hmm. 25 years. I think my parents just celebrated very close, if not 25, very close to 25 years. Wow. I didn't buy them something $3,000.
Sorry. My dog got very excited about that TV. And so are excited about having the television, and they want to get it inside the apartment. But it's like you said, it's like walking into today. And seeing someone purchase like a, I don't know, what would you purchase? A brand new iPhone, you know.
I guess for a wedding anniversary. Yeah. That's a big thing. But they're really, really excited. And everyone wants to go in. They want to get it set up. So that the boys are acting like full-on children.
Oh, my gosh. When male egos come to play, it's on. Absolutely.
Because they plug it in and there's like a wave. Just a wave. And I guess that's something else. You know, I feel like I'm a young person trying to teach people how older TVs worked.
Yeah.
Male egos. So the TV had a wave through it, and they're trying to fix it. And I love where Lucy's like, well, now it's just wavier.
And, you know, Ricky starts off with, here's where you turn it on. Here's where you plug it in. And
which is like, have they never used the Ricky's, the Ricardo's TV television set? They've been up there all the time.
Well, it's really, really, it's like you mentioned, male ego there, or, you know, just trying to prove that one is smarter than the other. And it's like you said, there was a wave across it because I suppose it's, first of all, you spend that much money on a television. Why is there a wave when you first turn it on? Maybe it needs to warm up, or who knows?
Well, no, those they have frequent, the TVs back then, you know, you really had to tune them. You did have to tune them and get the correct frequency, or it would really mess up, distort the picture. Mm-hmm. So they probably, all they probably needed to do was just mess with the dials a little bit. And if you're thinking they carried it down the stairs, it's a brand new TV set, it's probably not stuff dialed in correctly. Around.
Yeah, like certainly.
It doesn't, it's not horribly surprising that they needed to do a little bit of tuning to it. What they didn't need to do is take the back off the TV.
so he says, you know, oh, that's easy, I can fix it. He's got a little screwdriver with him, and he says he's going to remove the backing. Now, as we all know, anybody who's got electronics, a refrigerator, even a mattress has a warning. Certain things that you do or don't do is remove the backing of an electronic product. And he says, you know, Fred sees the sign and says, look, it says danger, high voltage. Don't remove under any circumstances. And of course, Ricky's like, that's for people who don't know,
don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And I also love where this is another where it's just childish. This is when I wrote it, was when, you know, Fred asked to try to tune it. And Ricky was like, no, I've got it. Like, you don't know how to do it. And Fred goes, I can make it just as wavy as you can. Okay, dude. But at this point they take it off and he finds the two wires.
See, right? This is why, this is why it's not working.
He decides to put them together. Let me just put these random wires together. They didn't go upstairs to see if his wires were connected.
No, his wires are clearly not connected.
Not. and then, so they connect them and they turn the TV on, and explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a big poof.
A big poof. The glass shatters. And
everyone just becomes
freaks out, right?
Upset. Now, I get both sides. First of all, as the purchasers of this gift, they should be much more upset because I'm sure, of course, not done on purpose. So they certainly didn't want to spend that much just to have a break 5 minutes late. Fred's like, look what you did to our television. And they said, your
TV.
This
is what confuses me, though, because it's like, well, it is their television. They just gave it to them.
Yeah.
You don't give someone a gift and then 2 seconds later be like, eh. So she says, you know, and Lucy does, she says, what do you mean your TV set? We just gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's theirs.
Well, and that's when she says that one phrase, that
the phrase, the Indian givers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna say it because this is definitely a phrase that people don't use a whole lot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's one of those things where it's like a sign of the times, right?
Oh, certainly, yes.
And she says, well, you know, a couple of Indian givers. Now, just to go a teensy bit into that, I won't do a whole lot, but I did a little deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of an Indian giver, really, it traces back to the first expeditions, Lewis and Clark, for Native Americans, for Indians, you know, when they gave a gift, it was like an extension of the system of trade and gifts. So I'm going to read right from a book. It's called World Myths, Debunking Linguistic Urban Legends. It's by author David Wilton. And it's about the gift, Indian gifts. So it says, to an Indian, the giving of gifts was an extension of the system of trade, and gifts was expected to be reciprocated with something of equal value. Bartering. That's what a barter is. Europeans, upon encountering this practice, misunderstood it, considered it uncouth and impolite. To them, trade was conducted with money, and gifts was freely given with nothing expected in return. So this native practice got a bad reputation among the white colonists of North America, and the term eventually became a playground insult. So like Indian gift or Indian giver, the idea that you give something and you expect something in return. That's what that means. So,
or you take it back.
Right. Because so like, you don't get
something,
you know,
in
so it's like the idea of you making something and expecting a barter. And if someone doesn't then give you, if they don't barter with you, then you take your original product back.
Right.
Right.
It became, first it was a practice, a misunderstood practice, and then it became an insult. And now it's no longer, then it became commonplace wording for like something here. You gave us a TV and now you're reclaiming it, even though a few minutes ago you just gave us ownership of it. And you know, now calling it yours. So we're going to call you an Indian giver. And now it's most definitely not a phrase that we would ever use, thankfully, because it's, you know, it's used as an insult. Yes. But like you said, this is 1952 television, and we have dissected quite a few things that we, you know, no longer would even remotely think of using. But yeah, it's they were upset about them saying we just gave it to you. And, you know, that's adding to the immaturity happening in this
right
scenario.
It's similar to that when they sell them the washer, right? Anyways, yes. We'll go into that, but if anyone knows, it's quite similar to the craziness that happens there.
So we have like a zoom in on Fred.
Yeah. We don't often see that, do we?
He's very upset about this, and the reason for the zoom in is you get into his brain as to, you know, what he's about to plot and do, which is what you would normally do: run up to someone's home and kick in the television screen.
Yeah, that is a very logical, thought through, level-headed thing to do when an accident happens.
That was really, really awful. That was an awful way to behave.
Childish.
Something. Yeah.
Yes. So this, okay, did you want to talk about the glass a little bit?
Oh,
or do you want me to talk about the glass?
That it certainly wouldn't have happened that way.
Wouldn't have been real glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The TV glass back then was super duper thick. This is probably closer to candy glass. I love watching, I think they're like on TikTok or Instagram where you see.
Yeah. It made me think of that you, if you said candy glass, because I made a cake for oh my gosh, Michael Myers for Halloween. And I made glass made out of sugar, which is what they use for in movie sets and things like that. And, you know, you can punch or hit someone over the head and it breaks like actual glass. So it would be something like that that they probably use. Is that what you were talking about?
Oh, no, I was going to say that there's like these accounts where people talk about all the things that go into making movies. Oh. And so they take the glass and they break it, or mm-hmm. what makes sounds and things like that. But yeah, it is.
Yeah.
TV glass back then was very, very thick. I was just going to say, then they freak out again, right? Because Fred was like, well, you're going to pay for that. Or Ricky, and that they do that. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, my goodness.
You know what I just noticed? You just talked about another freak out, which means, you know, earlier there was one. For four people that are so close and love each other so much, the anger went from 0 to 100 really fast scenarios. Because if someone gave me a gift, my best friend, and ruined it themselves, I would be sad for me because I would have liked to have kept the gift, but mainly for you as the gift giver, because you spent a ton to give me this and you just ruined it.
Right. And the thing is, is that if they just fixed it, it probably would have been less expensive.
Yeah. The
overreacting less expensive was... than
than this.
So, oh my goodness. So, yeah, they freak out. And you're right. This brings up, and I know it's the whole like sitcom type of thing where
reaction,
you know, mm-hmm. where you don't, that wouldn't normally happen like that, probably. Yeah. Definitely not people that are adults and that close.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide, you know, threats of suing are thrown out even now. But they're not entirely sure if that's going to happen. And so the Mertzes leave in a big huff.
Well, first to start with, he's going to pay for that. He is not. He is.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll see who's going to sue who.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that down because mm-hmm. that must have been really hard to say.
Yeah. And so she's, you know, it's like you said, they both leave in a huff. And you know what I noticed? I don't know if you noticed it. When, you know, Fred gears up to kick the screen in, Ethel's got this big smile on her face. Like she knows what's about to happen, the revenge.
She's like, yes, do it.
And so she's, you know, they're all upset. And she slams the door and leaves. And then, of course, there's a knock at the door again.
Oh, I love this. Thanks for the gift.
You're welcome. And I am convinced that the falling of the frame was not part of the plot.
It was accidental, you think?
Yes, it just worked perfectly. Her reaction was perfect and they were keeping it.
They were like, that's great.
It was so good. Yeah, and so they're very upset. And the next scene is Ricky coming home to tell Lucy that we are indeed going to sue.
Right. He's been working all afternoon. Like, were you not working? But no, he's been working all afternoon writing up, which we'll find later, a script for her, an unscripted script.
Oh, it's an unrehearsed, spontaneous testimony.
What is spontaneous? Is that spontaneous?
Yes, with a Spanish accent.
Okay. Okay. I was like, maybe. But anyways,
That's why she mocks it back, because she says, are you sure we don't need an attorney? We need an interpreter, perhaps. And she's saying, oh, we're really going to sue them. Oh, you bet we're going to sue them, you know, because that was a lot of damage done to our television. And then, of course, they get a knock at the door. And there is a quote unquote fan.
Well, yes, he's looking for Miss Lewis.
Miss Lewis. Yeah.
It's the second time she comes up, and she lives in apartment 1A.
Mm-hmm.
But she
and he's like, aren't you Ricky, like, wait, Ricardo?
Yeah. Now, did you notice the way that Lucy's looking at Ricky when he's signing the autograph?
Yes.
I was like, oh, so much admiration and love. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you know what? Never mind. You keep that. And
so the process server ends up being a process server. He's played by Harry Bartell. We do see him later, though, in the famous Hollywood At Last episode at the Brown Derby. He plays the waiter who's carrying all the, you know.
And he was also the jewel thief.
Oh, the jewel thief.
In the Great Train Robbery.
Yes,
yes. So he comes back twice more.
Every time I see, this is how much Lucy's ingrained in my head. Every time I'll see something on television, TMZ, anything, where I see a fan going up to, you know, like a celebrity and asking for an autograph, that's first thing that runs through my mind. Like, are you sure you're not signing a summons?
Read it first.
Read it before you sign.
It's a blank piece of paper.
Yeah. That's funny.
So yes, at this point they're like, oh, we really do need to figure this out, and
we should get a lawyer.
Yes, apparently not. I do love when she asks if they need a translator.
For are you
sure we don't need a translator
testimony?
Yes. And so the beginning is her reciting. She's just going through it, right? And she mistakes. There's times where she mistakes the stage directions. She'll say, like, snarls at Mertz's instead of actually snarling.
Looks adoringly at Ricky.
Looks adoringly. He goes, no, that's a stage direction. And then when she does it for too long. And he's like, okay, move on.
Lift your skirt a little when you're talking to the judge. Okay.
So some of this stuff was taken out of the original episode. It was trimmed in the syndication.
Yeah.
It was added in the DVD release. And some of those things were, so Lucy practiced, like, the full practice of the scripted testimony Ricky wrote for her. Ricky feeding Lucy her part when she's, you know, kind of stumbling on her lines. And then when the judge asks Lucy to repeat the part where she compliments him, which I just love.
It's so good.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah. Good.
So she gets sworn in, and I love this. He goes, please state your name. You know my name. Listen, the internet has really spoiled us with so much news coverage of, you know, courtroom trials, you know, like the Johnny Depp and all of those just are all streamed now. Then when I watch things like this, you realize how, now I know it's a set, but it does, when they had those trials back then, you realize how open it was, because I mean, she's just sitting in a chair. I realize he's putting on a performance for the camera, so he probably wouldn't be that close. But what I did notice is, why is it that automatically the men are the attorneys and the women are the witnesses?
Who knows?
I'm just saying.
Who knows? You know, the women are the ones that actually watched everything, so maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe. But the men are the ones that are being super childish. So now they're taking a not childish approach, but you'll see that both of their stories are completely fabricated.
And so it's really obvious that she's trying to remember the script that she is supposed to be saying, like, naturally what happened. So when it comes to the judge's part, I love that she stops, lifts up her skirt, kind of moves her leg a little,
moves her leg,
smiles at the judge.
Fred calls an objection.
Overruled. Let her flourish. She's complimenting me.
Yes.
And the judge is played by Maroni Olson. He tries to get her to start over, but of course, where the compliments were.
She does. She starts back at the compliments. So again, you can tell that it's super scripted. The biggest takeaway from theirs is that Fred went crazy and because not her husband, to an expert engineer,
an electronic specialist.
He messed it up and then ran upstairs and kicked in their set, you know. But again, it wasn't all their fault. So we see. But that was the big takeaway from theirs. And then they switched places.
Oh, but my favorite part of that last part of her testimony is she's crying. She's upset. And then he's like, okay, you can have a seat.
She done, and he jumps up.
She's smiling.
Okay. Gives a little wave to the
She saunters away just happily. So then it's the Mertz's turn. And poor
right
Ethel.
Off the bat, Ethel tries to cross her legs, pull off her skirt a little bit. And Fred goes, "What are you trying to do? Lose the case for us?"
God, he's just so mean. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. But later on, she does it again. What's that?
I forgot to mention that we get to see a lot of the facial expressions. The comedy in Lucy, you know, like when she's snarling, when the people say she was like the first emoji, there's a real reason for that.
Yeah,
because
she had a rubber
you know,
face.
Her just, you know, and Ethel does a great job in hers as well. Mm-hmm. But the amount of stuff that plays over Lucy's face is just unmatched, I think. But anyways, yes, Ethel comes up and you were saying she did the skirt again. I didn't notice that.
Oh, no, she did. I was going to say in a later episode where the Danny Thomas episode, she does the same thing where they go to court and she lifts up her skirt too. And even then, Fred disapproves of this leg showing and, you know, you're going to cause us to lose the case. And so Mrs. Mertz, tell us what really happened. And so I love that she calls Ricky Senior Know-It-All.
Yes. And she also says that she bought an old, broken down, secondhand television set.
Which shockingly turned on.
Yeah.
And so then this crazy, by the way, she calls him a Cuban maniac, you know, grabs an axe and starts hatching
out of his pocket. I was like, what kind of axe do you carry in your
little mini
pocket?
One?
Maybe
little
a mini camping one. Axe, like,
or one that folds out, you know. And so,
maybe
he starts, and the way she describes it, it's like a murder scene. He starts hatching it, you know. She's got both hands up and calls him a Cuban maniac. Was the Cuban really necessary?
Absolutely.
1952. Then he runs up and he makes us all go up to his place. He picks up my husband's foot and then smashes it through his own television.
How does that make any sense?
So good. Because later on, I love that the judge wants to see all these scenarios played.
Oh, yeah. The judge can tell that this is all baloney, right?
Right.
And he's like, all right, you know what? I have this exact same set
in
my back room.
Office.
Bring it out. And
Why
you
does the
can
judge
show
have a TV
us.
in the room? Which is what I know.
Listen,
You gotta do some
it's his
judging.
office, right? Like maybe between cases, you know? He's a judge, so you gotta guess that he's got money. It's just, he probably has a nice leather, you know,
sir, we have
couch,
cases to go
some,
through.
Some liqueur, a little cart, because that was common in offices back then to have
right.
some, you know, he's probably got comfortable between. Anyways, they bring it out.
I love that how defensive you got of the judge. Just
anyways, moving on. He says, listen, you're going to show me, you know, what happened, but just remember that you guys are under oath and the fine for perjury is $500 or 90 days in jail.
So
and you
tell
can
the
kind
truth.
Of see
all
of
faces.
Them going,
uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Gotta tell the truth.
And so he goes, okay, let's see where, you know, Fred, your husband did this or whatever, like
yeah.
pushed him aside to get to the back. And look, Lucy was like, it wasn't really pushing. And
yeah.
And he goes, okay, where did the axe? Well, it was more of a screwdriver,
more
not
of
an axe.
A screwdriver. Right. And so they said, listen, obviously there's some misunderstandings here or mistruths perhaps. So why don't you guys go in the back and try and figure this out
together. Well, before he sends them in the back, they show him the two wires. And he goes, putting these two together wouldn't do anything. It surely wouldn't break your television
because
you do something else.
An electronic specialist, says
yes.
The judge. He also has some electronic
of
experience.
Course, he's a man. Oops.
Lucy just lost half our audience. We're going to get an email.
Oh, no, we're
going to
get
some
emails. Oh, no. He says, you know, there's no way
that these two wires together.
This will cause that. So something right. else must have happened. It was probably just a misunderstanding. Yes, go in the back. Don't come back out until you are friends. Now, again, there's probably a nice little couch. They probably had some drinks, had some fun, and they come back out
all
laughing.
Jolly and smiling.
All jolly.
And all that.
You
and
know,
here's my
a
question.
Complete 180, right?
So, well, before I ask the question, they tell the judge that they've agreed to pay for each other's set.
Why didn't they just pay for their own?
Not only that, but it's not a fair amount because Ricky's or the Ricardo's is a much older set, I assume. And the Mertz's is a, you know, brand new. So.
True. They yes. should have switched sets maybe.
So
I don't
if
know,
anything, but the only person having to pay would be the Mertz's. But anyway.
Anyway. The judge says, you know, I'm
See,
so glad,
yeah.
whatever, this what, and this is where he says his famous, we must never lose our tempers.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
what
like,
happens?
Oh, thank you, sir. And
yes,
they go
walk
on,
out.
Yeah, happy, arm in arm.
And then this is definitely not par for the course. This is off the norm because it doesn't end with the Mertz's or the Ricardo's.
Right. There's
it
an
ends
additional
with
character.
A completely
yeah.
different character.
You're
and
right.
It's just him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he loses his temper. So explain what he does.
Yeah. So he puts the two wires together because he needs to get this out of his system. That it
right.
wasn't this that caused it because it wouldn't. And so then he gets a poof of smoke, just like the Mertz's did. He gets upset. You can see it starting to crawl up into his brain and his head. And he puts his hand on his forehead and then he just kicks in the screen. So now we have three broken television sets. People are not very good with television sets around here on this I Love Lucy, because if you remember back to the Vita Vita Benjamin episode, she takes
everything out. And he goes, why didn't you just slide it out?
Yeah.
It slides out.
You mean it? All in one piece.
Yes.
So that's
he gets to see a little goof. Yeah, as he's walking. So after the Mertz's leave, he's walking down. He walks down to look at his own television set, right? And as he's walking down, you see the door open. There's like a little diploma, whatever. And then as he's coming towards the set and as he connects it, the door's closed in the background. And then he starts waving and waving and the door's back open again.
Yeah, a little bit of...
A little bit of editing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whoopsies. But anyways, that's that episode.
That's the courtroom.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of gave me a... who's that famous... Perry Mason sort of feel, because that's sort of like the courtroom setup a little bit. But yeah, that was episode 7 of I Love Lucy. And if you guys haven't listened, please do so. We had a MAME review. We have an interview coming up with Wendy Loggia. She's the author of the Little Golden Books Lucy biography. That was fun. And we also did an interview with the Bob Crane authors. So hopefully you guys will listen to that in the near future.
Yes, it was really great to get back to our, you know, we really like doing all the other reviews and everything else, but it's kind of nice to get back to
episodes.
started it all out. Yeah, and see people are passing us by already, some of our other podcasters of this area.
Genre.
Yes.
So if you guys have any suggestions, we do get emails of certain topics suggested. I don't know if you've seen our email yet, but we got one earlier today for our Marilyn Monroe deep dive. So that might be a thing, because Netflix just had a sort of, I don't want to call it a, a lot of people have very mixed feelings about this Marilyn Monroe one. So, but with something like that, it would probably be nice to have someone who's a Marilyn expert, because I know they're out there to speak to us on something like that. But yeah, if you guys have any,
maybe we can find. I'll search. Somebody, maybe we can. Yeah, if fun. You know, even if this person who emailed us, if they know mm-hmm. anyone, let That'd us really know. Good. That would be really cool. I do know that Marilyn Monroe is very.
It's a
very big topic, mm-hmm. and I want to do it justice. So we'll look for people that mm-hmm. might know a bit more than us.
Yeah. So if you guys need to send us anything or want to let us know of any suggestions, heavenofballpod@gmail.com. On Instagram, it's heavenofballpod. Find us on all your favorite streaming services and on YouTube.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.